bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's word.
So, the Lord speaks to Joshua. The city is shut, but see, it's yours. There are mighty men of valor there, but see, it's yours. They don't want you to enter, but see, it's yours. You feel insignificant compared to that problem, but see, it's yours. Until you can see yourself living somewhere, even when you are given the place, you would think it's too good for you. Do you know some of you, when you are giving a house in certain places, you would not live there? Recently, when there was that raffle and a guy who is a carpenter won a very nice residential house, almost $1 million or so. And I was listening to all the advice people gave him. Nobody told him to live there. And I heard people say, if I was him, I wouldn't live there. If I'm him, I will rent it. I will sell it. I will rent it. I will sell it. Do you know why they were telling him he must rent or sell the house? Do you know another person, if that person won the house, nobody would tell him to rent it? They will say, hey, go and live there and enjoy. You know why they're telling him he can't live there? Because they look at him and say, see, that's not your kind of house. Let somebody else go and live there because it doesn't fit you. If you don't see it, you cannot live in it. You cannot claim it. Even if it is offered to you, you will give it to somebody else who fits the place more than you. Question I'm going to ask you is, if God blesses you, can you take it? I mean bless. You sure? Don't talk like that, though. Because I'm telling you, if God gave you a brand new aeroplane, 747, you wouldn't ride it. You rent it to Ghana International Airlines. But somebody else will retrofit that plane and use it for himself. Why? Because what you see determines what you can receive. And for many of us, we haven't seen ourselves at some levels before. Every time you see yourself, you are low. Every time. And so if God blesses you, you cannot receive it. Are you ready for God's blessing? Yes. In this year of breakthrough, how big a breakthrough are you looking forward to? What breakthrough do you see? The Lord said to Joshua, I'm giving you the victory, but he gives him the scope of victory, the extent of victory, how far the victory will go, how wide is the victory. What kind of victory is God giving him? What kind of victory is God giving Israel? What is the measure? He gave him three levels of victory. And I want you to take this seriously because the victories God give you fall into these three levels. The first one, he said, I will give you the city. The city. That is the land and the territory. The city of Jericho, I've given it to you. See, the city is yours. The physical property, the landed property, the space, I've given it to you. The physical property, the city. That's the first thing. See, the city is yours. But God didn't stop there. He could have said, I've given you the city, go take it. But he goes ahead and gives him the second level of victory. He says, I have given you the king. Everybody say the king. The king talks about the dominions and the powers. The king, not just the city, because you can take the city. If you have the city and you don't have the king, you are in big trouble, because the king can come back and reclaim the city. The king, this refers to those who control the land and set the atmosphere for how things happen. Kings take hold of territories and determine who can come in and who can go out. Spiritually, when the Bible talks about kings in this context, it's talking about something the book of Ephesians describes as principalities and powers, territorial spirits, spirits that control a province and determine who will prosper. Do you remember when Satan was tempting Jesus? He took him to a high mountain. And he said to Jesus, the same thing the angel, the Lord says to Joshua. He says, see. He says, see. Told Jesus, see. And the Bible says he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. That means it wasn't just a physical vision. It was a spiritual vision. You can't stand on one mountain and see the whole world. But he showed him the kingdoms of the world. And he says, all this is in my power. Now, if he was telling a lie, Jesus would have said, the devil is a liar. He would have said, you are a liar. Jesus never said you are a liar. Jesus understood the dynamics of spiritual power. But the next statement Satan used was troubling. He says, and I give it to whomever I want. So what he's saying is that beyond the physical terrain, there is a spiritual power that is controlling access to that wealth. And that spiritual power will give it to the people he likes. And he tells Jesus, if you want me to like you so I can give it to you, then you bow to me. Well, Jesus says, we don't bow to you. You'll bow to me 3 years from now, but you can say what you want now. But one of these days, I'm going to take that power from you and I'm going to crush your head. Take the keys and give it to my people. But Satan was saying a spiritual truth. There is a city and there is the king. And if you have the city and you don't have the king, you have nothing. So God is saying to Joshua, I'm going to give you the city, but not only that, I'll give you the king of the city. The king spiritually represents the spiritual entity that controls access to the wealth in this place of fragrance. I'm going to give that to you. Spiritual authority. It's no wonder that most of the time, believers don't end up getting the wealth, because the kings don't give it to us. And the king will never give it to you, because you are none of his. In the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God allows, in this condition, violence. That's what John the Baptist says. The kingdom of God allows it. And the men of violence take it by force. Because that king is never going to give you the authority. So you have to have the power to take the authority from the king. That's what God is saying to Joshua. I'm going to give the king into your hand. He's not going to come. I will give him to you. You are going to take him by force. You're going to pull down his kingdom. Spiritually, the king talks about spiritual authority, principalities, powers. But those kings also have physical representatives. And this year I'm going to do quite a bit of teaching on that. Because you see, there are certain industries that there are kings, magnates, potentates, who have taken command of that industry, and they determine who will come in and who will go out. And anytime you try to penetrate, they will crush you. Some of you have been fighting kings and you can't get through because there are certain industries, they will let you go so far and no more. If you try to, they will crush you. So all you are left to do is doing tabletop business, operating at low levels, but they never give you the kingship. In this year of the breakthrough, not only are we taking the city, but we are taking the kings as well. The spiritual authorities as well as the monopolists who have denied access to the children of God. You have to learn to take them. Because if you don't take them, you will be playing at the shore. You won't play at the big leagues. I have given you the city. Everybody say, I have the city. Say, I have the king. You must have both the city and its king. You can't just be in Ghana and say, well, we have taken Ghana. You've taken Ghana, but somebody's controlling Ghana. Because sometimes you take the city, but you're not the king. But you must be the king. Then he gives him a third level in the scope of things. A third level. He says, I have given you also the mighty men. The mighty men. These are assigned combatants. This refers to those who directly contend with you. They operate under the command and direction of the king of the dominions and powers. They are not dominions, but they operate under the dominions. Spiritually, the mighty men of valor here could represent human agents. Human agents that yield to the enemy's power so that he uses them as he wills. There are mighty men of valor. They are not principalities, but they are being used. They are the people you confront every day. You deal with them every time. You encounter them. Because in a battle like Jericho, you wouldn't go and fight the king. You fight the mighty men of valor. But the mighty men of valor are under the king. But those mighty men of valor have the power of the king to wage warfare. In the spiritual realm, you call them witches, wizards, mediums, and all kinds of names. They are low-level forces. But you deal with them. And God says, I'm giving you the city. I've given you the kings. And I'm giving you the mighty men of valor. Three levels of victory. You take the city. You take the king. And you take the agents of the king as well. Jesus said in the book of Mark, that no one can enter a strong man's house and take his goods except first he binds the strong man. Then after he had dealt with the strong man, the booty is there. And if you would notice, after God has said this to Joshua, he says, now when he gives you the city, the king, and the mighty men, he says he can go in and take the gold and the silver, and take everything. Because when the city is yours, the king is yours, the mighty men are yours, the rest is available for the taking. The reason you can't take the gold is because the city is not yours, the king is not yours, the mighty men are not yours. But I'm giving you victory on three levels. This year, you will win your spiritual battles. You will win your spiritual warfare. And don't be ignorant and just walk through and just... Some of you are contending with things you have no idea of. You are fighting forces at levels, and you are just like a toy, just going to render, it will be well. Yes, it's good to say positive things, but the king is there. You must take the king down. You must bring down the mighty men of valor. You must get the city. Then you can take the gold. Then you can take the silver. Then you can take everything. But until you take the city, the king, and the mighty men, you cannot take the victory. So as Joshua is going into battle, he must be mindful of three things: the city, the king, the mighty man. The city, the king, the mighty man. I just want to boldly declare, there are areas of operation in our country that citizens of this country have never been able to take the commanding heights. Areas of operation in commerce, in business, and so on. Now we are going to get oil too. And there are some kings trying to make sure you don't get access to the wealth of your land. But in this year of the breakthrough, we are taking the city, we are taking the kings, we are taking the mighty men, and the gold and the silver will belong to the children of God. We are not just going to wage warfare on land, we'll wage warfare in heavenly places. And we're going to take the city, the kings, and the mighty men of valor. That's what God promised to Joshua. This is going to be a total victory. You're going to go in there and you're going to clear them all. And if you can take Jericho, you can take the rest of the cities. Except you are foolish, which they were right after this. But they got it back. And they march from victory unto victory unto victory unto victory. Because if you can just take Jericho, it opens the door to cycles of victory. Cycles of victory. Where you have had cycles of defeat, you're going to have cycles of victory. But you must first take Jericho. The first step, the first objective, that thing which God promised you. Don't run from it. Don't shy from it. Don't go back. Don't give up. Don't say, well, it hasn't happened before. I'm too old. I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can do it. Because by the time Joshua is leading this battle, he's not a young man. I'm not sure exactly of his age, but his age mate, Caleb, gives us an idea of how old they are. Caleb says, I'm 85. We started this thing long ago. I'm 85. So, let's say Caleb was older than Joshua, but by how many years? Even if he's older by 10 years, Joshua is 75. He's not a young boy. He's an old man who has waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited for this time. Then he sees the war. And God says, don't worry. See, I have given you the city, the king, and the mighty man. Somebody's getting ready for that. Let me end with this. I'm going to continue from here. I'm just giving you an introduction to next week. The Jericho strategy, which I'll focus on mostly next week. The Jericho strategy. How were they going to do this job and break through this mighty fortress and have the victory? God gave them what I call a 6-to-1 strategy. Everybody say 6-to-1. Okay, what is that? 6 days of marching and quietly building momentum. 6 days. Quietly building momentum. 6 days. They're just marching. They're marching. God says, don't say anything. Just march. Day one, they just march. Day two, they march. Day three, they march. Just marching. Not making sound. The only sound being heard is the sound of trumpets. The trumpets blow for a while. Boom. Boom. The people march and go home. 6 days. Then he says, there's going to be one day. Everybody say one day.
One day.
It's going to be one day of accelerated marching and loud noise. One day of accelerated marching and loud noise. If you ask most people, how did the walls of Jericho fall? I can guess your answer. Most people will say, the people shouted and the walls came down. Is that not so? That's what most people will say. Most people will forget the 6 days of silence. As if the 6 days of silence did not contribute to the one day of victory. It's a 6-to-1 process. It's not 1-to-6. You don't shout for 6 days and be quiet the 7th day. You work subterraneally. You work underground. You work like a submarine. The enemy doesn't see it. You are coming quietly. You are building momentum quietly. You are doing it here a little, there a little. You are building strength. You are building strategy quietly. And then the final day, you change strategy. What I have seen wrong, many people start dealing with Jericho and they start with shouting. I'm coming. I've started my business. We will take over. We will be that. And you are crushed. And you never get to take the victory because the king there, he's not going to give you the chance. So God gives them 6-to-1. Everybody say 6-to-1.
6-to-1.
That simply means you work more in silence than in the public. You work more in silence than in the public. You don't expose your strategy. You don't make noise. You don't advertise yourself. You don't launch yourself big. But you work quietly. And then, one day, just one day, he gives you the permission to make a shout. By the time you get ready to shout, you'll be marching quietly without notice for 6 days. And when you shout, people can stop you because you've already built your strength. And now you are ready to take the city. It's a 6-to-1 strategy. 6 days of quiet work, building momentum. And one day of public, visible noise. I'm going to work a little bit more with this next week, but just let me say this. What God has called you to do, if you go advertising it now, before you do your 6 days of work, somebody will kill it before it manifests. What God has called you to do is great, is mighty. It's a new idea. Some of you, ideas would drop into your head. 6 days of quietness. Don't go and publicize the idea. Don't go and tell people, this is a new idea I have. This is a new idea I have. Keep quiet. Because it's 6-to-1. Everybody say 6-to-1. If you're going to share the idea, share it with somebody who is marching with you around the wall. Don't share it so that the people inside the wall hear what you are planning. Only the people marching with you around the wall must know what you are trying to do. Somebody will say, well, what if I do that? Well, how will people know? The command for noise will come. And when the command for noise comes, you will not just create attention. Because this noise, it wasn't for attention. The wall fell flat. Because when that command comes and you step out, walls are going to come. And they're going to drop down. They're going to drop down all over. This year, your assignment is to take Jericho. Your assignment is to take Jericho. Say, this year, my assignment is to take Jericho. Say, I will take Jericho by the 6-1 strategy. You have to take your Jericho. Don't march past Jericho. Don't go to Ai without Jericho. Don't go to the next easy town because Jericho is hard. You will stay on that problem. You will solve it. You will conquer it. The city, the king, and its mighty men, the Lord has put into your hand. Get ready for some great victories in this year of your breakthrough. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbeil, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbeil. Email otterbeil@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.